So now we're going to talk about true worshippers as opposed to false worship. You know, Jesus was at the well. He spoke to a Samaritan woman. And he said to her that the true worshippers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit and he seeks such to worship him. So he's telling this lady at the well that, you know, you can drink natural water and you'll always be thirsty, but there is a water that can flow from the throne room of God and you'll never be thirsty again if you continue to drink from this water, this pure water. It says in Revelation 22, verse 1, it says, "The river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb." So it came from the throne of God and from the Lamb. So the river was to do with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings you into that river. The Holy Spirit gives you access to that river. Not man, not his 20-step plans, and not his own personal teachings, but the Holy Spirit. So all sorts of teachers around the world can teach you lots of intricate stuff about the Bible, but it's the Holy Spirit that brings you into that river, not man. The Holy Spirit is the agency that brings you into that river that flows from the throne room of God. The Holy Spirit was given to Jesus by the Father from the throne room, and from Jesus the Holy Spirit was given to us on the day of Pentecost. And when we step into that spiritual realm, we step into that pure, crystal, clean water, undefiled. So we want to be worshippers who receive clean, clear water from the throne room of God and not from man's own pet ideas and variations of types of Christianity. As I said again, God has given us teachers and pastors, and he's given us oversight, all sorts of people in the body of Christ to look after us. But those people have to have stepped into that river themselves. And that stuff that's coming from them and the stuff they teach has to come from the throne room of God, from Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit. A pure river of water, undefiled by their own teaching, their own variation of things, will cause you to be polluted. You don't want to step into a polluted water. I'll say it again. It's nothing. I've got nothing against true biblical teachers. I've only got a lot against those who mix and muddy the water up. And there's a lot of them. So my ministry has been predominantly to teach you to step into that river of life, to draw from that well of living water, so that you can clean up your life, because some of the muddiness of your life comes from false teaching and false ideas. And that clean, crystal, clear water will replenish the life that's in you. Go back to the source and get the fresh, clean water. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to the lady at the well, he said, you know, if anybody drinks from this water, right, then they will never thirst again. Jesus also said, he said that if any man thirsts, come to me and I'll give him living water, right, that will flow out of him, multiple streams. And it says this he spoke of the Holy Spirit. So he was saying, when you receive the Holy Spirit, and if you use the Holy Spirit, rivers of living water will flow out of you. Now we want to talk predominantly about worship, because Jesus said the true worshippers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. And the only way that you can truly worship God is being inspired from that source, from that river of living water that that comes from the throne room, and it comes from Jesus. I'll say it again. In Revelation chapter 22, it says, "The river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb." That's what John saw. We want to enter into that place as close to the source as possible without other people giving it to us polluted. And I'll say it again, just for the sake of those who are sensitive. I'm not trying to have a go at all teachers, only those who are false teachers. If you're a true teacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you're a true minister of God, if you're truly teaching the body of Christ, then you'll be sending them to that river, not to yourself. You'll be sending them to that river, you'll be sending them to the Holy Spirit to receive that pure water that flows from the river. So we're going to talk about worship, because as I said before, worship has to be in the spirit. It can't be a natural form of worship. It can't be a soulish form of worship. It has to come from the spirit. But when we first begin worship, we have no other understanding. So we usually worship God out of our soul. And we use music and we use lights and flashing lights and excited people jumping around. You know, that's soulish. That's soulish, because when you step into the spirit, when you start moving, transitioning from a natural worship caused by your own intellect, because you know a whole lot of scriptures, then, you know, when you step out of that, you step into the Spirit, then the Spirit brings life. You step into that stream. You step into that river. And from that river flows the glory of God. And from that glory of God, you speak things and they come to being. They come to pass. Because you are speaking from within the middle of that river, from that flow. And that river is supplying all the revelation that you need to worship God in spirit and in truth. Because Jesus said, "For God is a spirit, and he seeks such to worship him in spirit and in truth." The day will come when the true worshippers will worship God in spirit and in truth. He's talking to the lady at the well. The river that he wanted to give her, the water, was spiritual water. It was coming from the Holy Spirit. So how do we actually transition from being a natural thinking worshiper, using our own natural human self, and how do we transition into the spiritual realm? How do we transition into that place where life flows? Well, if you pray in tongues and you build yourself up, that river of clear crystal water flowing from the throne to Jesus and then to you will start to clean your life up. It will start to clean the pollution in your life. And then you will start to have inspiration from God that comes from the throne, comes from Jesus, and comes from the Holy Spirit. And your thinking will start to change. And your appreciation to God will start to change. It won't be intellectual. It won't be brought about by a whole bunch of other people revving you up. It will come from inside of you. And the Lord taught me how to worship. I didn't know how to worship properly. I thought people jumping around were a bit stupid because they didn't seem to have anything. I mean, they were worshiping. They looked like they were worshiping. They really looked like they were serious. But at the end, they would just turn back into normal people. So maybe, just maybe, they never left anywhere anyway. Maybe they were never in that river at all. Maybe they were never being touched by God to begin with. and they were just going through an emotional experience, hoping that they could step into that river. But nobody's taught them to step into that river. So in their frustration, they're just on the banks of the river watching it happen, but they're not participating because nobody truly taught them that it actually flows from the Holy Spirit and not from how good the music is, how inspiring the person speaks. It's not about that. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Listen, I've seen tons of worship music, people doing worship and all this stuff, but I'll tell you something. You can get two sticks and bang them together and start worshiping God, and you can step into that throne room, into that river, into that living water. Just with two sticks banging together. You can have just someone playing a very boring guitar, right? And you can step in. It's not about the music. Now, music is a spiritual medium, okay? And that's great. I was never taught to worship with music and flashing lights and a whole bunch of people around me. I was taught privately by God in my own personal time with Him. He showed me how that when I, you know, I'd worship and I would go praise the Lord, speak in tongues and I'd praise the Lord. And I just say things, and I would think that maybe that might encourage Him to bring me into that river of living water. And as I realized that wasn't working, I just kept praying over a month, and then all of a sudden, I was so inspired by Him, I stepped into this place. And slowly but surely, I moved into this place. I just dipped my toe in the water, and I started trusting Him that it was not from my own effort or my own zing-zang worship and my own encouragement from within myself, but it was from the Spirit. Now, a lot of people will start worshiping, and they will start, singing, and they'll start, you know, praising God, but they're really in the flesh. They're in their mind. They're in their natural mind. And then eventually they step into that water. They transition from the natural thinking realm into a spiritual realm. And how far do they go in? Well, that depends on how far their natural self will let go and let them step into that river. You know, so we teach people to step into that river and move in as far as possible. People, when they authentically go into that river, they don't become weird. They don't become unruly. They don't do non-biblical things. They don't do stupid stuff. They don't flap their arms around a room, flying around like a bird, saying, "Is this God?" No, it's stability. And true worship comes from the spiritual realm, and it's not outwardly spectacular, it's from within. Okay, so people think the outward spectacular thing is that's the show of the Holy Spirit. It's not. It's from within. So, you know, I get people, when we worship, we lift our hands and we start praying, and within about 20 seconds, the presence of God starts moving into the place, and people start feeling that. They start worshiping, and they start being inspired by the Holy Spirit. And they start worshiping God, and then maybe 10, 15 minutes, they're whacked off their head. I mean, they're somewhere else. And they have to sit down, and they're having an experience, a personal experience with God through the Holy Spirit. And it changes their life. You know, stepping into that river of life, stepping into that stream, that crystal clear water that's unpolluted, transforms your whole life. Now, when it comes to relationship, if you've got a wife, you're a husband, and you go and you work and you pay all the bills and you're there with your wife, but you never put your arms around her and you're never intimate with her, you never ever share with her your most deepest thoughts. Instead, you just provide. Instead, you go out and you make sure the bills are paid. You make sure, you know, you're a good husband. But you're never intimate with her. You never share yourself with her. And that's really what intimacy or marriage is all about. It's about two people becoming one and sharing themselves with each other on an intimate level. Sure, they have to do all the natural things, clean the shower, you know, do the cooking, do the vacuuming, but there's another component. And that component is just as important to God as it is with your marriage. You know, you don't want to be a man that stands before your wife at the end of 50 years of marriage and you said, look, I was always at work, I paid all the bills, I made sure that you had 3 cars and 6 houses and all the clothes that you ever wanted, blah, blah, blah. And she'll say to you, I never knew you. You never gave me the opportunity to have intimate relationship with you. You never shared yourself with me. You know, and Christians are going to stand before Jesus and they're going to say, I prophesied and I cast out devils and I went to all the outreaches and I walked in the rain handing out pamphlets about you. He's going to say, I never knew you. You know, you don't want that to happen. He says, I never knew you. You know, you did not give him the opportunity to know you. He wants to be intimate with you, and it doesn't come through your doing things in his name. It comes with intimate relationship, stepping into that river of life, because God is a spirit, and he seeks such to worship him in spirit and in truth. He wants to have relationship with you. So how do you step into that water? Well, if you start praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit will start to water that dry and thirsty life in you. And he'll start to bring water, fresh, clear, clean water. And he'll flush away, wash away all of the rubbish in your life. And he'll have you standing in a pure, undefiled body of water. And then you'll be able to actually receive from God what God truly wants from you. And you'll be able to express yourself in that spiritual realm through the Holy Spirit back to him. Because what you'll be doing is, as you're praying in tongues, you'll be getting revelation and you'll be speaking that out. That revelation will be coming from God, not from man, not from a list of words or scriptures that you've actually learnt about, but it'll be pure. And you'll speak to him back in the inspired words that he has given you. True inspirational words, undefiled, unpolluted. God is a spirit and he seeks such to worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's the truth component. It won't be false truth. It won't be false worship. False worship is when you worship from outside of that river. Now, I understand that you have to actually start somewhere, but the quicker you learn to step into the Spirit, the quicker you learn to drop into the Spirit, whatever words you want to call it, the quicker that you learn to actually start to get inspired and letting the Holy Spirit take over your inspiration, the better. And the one way that you can really move it along is by praying in tongues, having the Holy Spirit flush out all of the bad doctrine and ideas and concepts that are stopping you from entering into that river. Because God doesn't want a fellowship with unrighteousness or lies or deception. Now, when you have a false impression of God through false theology, God will not meet you there. He is not a man that lies. He's not misrepresenting himself, and the Holy Spirit is the one that will truly represent God and Jesus to you. So through the Holy Spirit you enter into worship, not through lots of wonderful music and people being excited, revving you up and using emotionalism. It's about you entering into the Spirit, entering into that spiritual place. And you can't do it by your natural way. You may start naturally worshiping God, and then in your natural way, going, God, maybe you might say something like, Father, I've just come to worship you. Just bring me in, Holy Spirit, into the throne room of God. And that can even be, you know, people can just talk about that stuff. And, you know, when they quote lots of scriptures that talk about entering into that river, you know, but they never drop into the Spirit. They never facilitate the transition. They never get into that transitional effect because they're dry as a bone. They're dry as anything. So the best way, if you're not entering into that spiritual realm, if you're not entering into that river, the best way is to sit down and pray in tongues and let the river of living water flush out all the junk in your life. It may take weeks and months. Depends on who you are. Depends on how much unbelief you have. You know, we went to some young fella's place. There was two of them. And we've only just met them. And we put a hand on them, prayed over them. And, you know, they said to us the next day when I rang them up, they said, we could feel your imprint of your hand in our chest. And I woke up the next day, it was still there. Well, that's God. And we went back and we had dinner at their place. And we said, we're going to show you how we worship. So we started worshiping, and they stood in a circle with us, and they prayed in tongues. And then I said to them, listen, we're going to show you what it's like to drop into. We're going to pick you up and throw you. We didn't say these words, but this is what we did. We picked them up and threw them right into the middle of the river. We swung them out on a rope and then cut the rope, and they dropped right in the middle of the river. Anyway, so we said to them, we're going to lay our hands on you, and we're going to bring you into that spiritual place, and we want you to just stay there and soak. We want you to be soaking in that river. And they said, okay. So we sat them on the lounge. We said, we're going to go. It's about 9 o'clock. And we put our hands on them, Don and I, and we went from one to the other. We put our hands on them, and we just started praying in tongues. And it probably took about 30 seconds to a minute. And all of a sudden, they just dropped into a deep, deep sort of sleepy thing. And I went to the next one. They could hear us, but they were out to it. All of their senses were functioning, but they were out to it. And they could hear us, and they could think, but they were in a place they were immersed in the glory of God. So we put our hands on them, and then we said, we're going to go, you just sit there. And we left. You know, it was about 9 o'clock. One of them came out of it at 12 o'clock. The other one came out around about 3 a.m, the next morning. And they got up and staggered to bed. And that changed their whole life, because they'd never experienced that. I think we did it again to them. After that, they just, like little kids, ran down to the river and dived into the creek, into the big river of crystal clear water that flows from the throne room of God and Jesus Christ. They did that anytime they wanted then, because they had faith. It's like sitting someone on a chair. If it doesn't break, then they'll sit on it again. But you know, a person who's never sat on a chair will be a bit weary, because they don't understand. Through lack of understanding, lack of faith. But they had faith for that after that. They had faith for the miraculous, because they stepped into the miraculous straight away, because Don and I have the ability to bring people into that place, providing they open their heart up. But you know, if you're on your own and Don and I can't get to you, then you can do it yourself. It might take a little bit longer, but you can still do the same thing. All we're doing is, like, you know, when you go to the movies, there's a person with a flashlight. They open the door. They take you to your seat. They sit you down. Make sure you don't trip over. Make sure you've got a good spot. and then they leave you and you watch the movie. That's all we do. We just usher people into the glory of God. We sit them down before the throne room of God. Angels and the kingdom of God ministers unto them and teaches them who they are in Christ Jesus. And the access that they have to the kingdom of God through the Holy Spirit. No man will ever teach you, right, through words and stuff, how to enter in. They can't do that. It's only through the Holy Spirit that you enter into that throne room of God, that you enter into that river of living water. So when you worship, the most effective way to worship will be to pray in tongues, and maybe sit down for a couple of months and pray in tongues. You'll find that your life will start to change, that your heart will start to get softened, that you'll start to believe again, that you'll start to experience the presence of God again. And then the longer you pray, the more heaven will envelop you. It will cover you. And then when it comes to true worshiping, you'll be able to step into that river far easier than when you first started. It'll get so easy that it'll just happen spontaneously. You know, I get people on the phone, they ring me up and they start talking to me, and within 3 seconds we're just laughing our head off on the phone. We're just laughing, and they're laughing because the glory of God is over us within 3 seconds on the phone. But these guys have been praying for months and months, and they get on the phone to me and they just start laughing. And the joy just fills the place. And I say, what do you love? I'm just full of joy. I say, no, I didn't do it. Say, no, neither did I. It's just God. And within a couple of seconds, we have a laughing session for about 5 minutes. And we can hardly talk because we're just so whacked by the presence of God. Because these guys know how to step into the river. But there are other people, they're having trouble stepping into river because they got so much baggage from all these rubbishy ideas have been put in their head, you know, that God likes to play hide and seek, and he only comes in little seasons, and don't expect too much from God, and all this stuff. No, expect everything from God. Expect the miraculous. Expect the transitional effect that's going to come from the Holy Spirit. Allow God to permeate every cell in your body and transform you into a spiritual being. And you'll be absolutely terrific to this world. You'll be a benefit. I've had people say to me, don't get too spiritual, you won't be any earthly use. That is such a lie. That's a useless lie. I tried walking in their walk. I tried following their parameters, not being too excited with God. And I found it that the Lord was tugging at me, trying to get me to go off and have a good time with him. Instead, I was spending all my time serving my brothers and sisters in a natural way, whereas all I pined for was just entering into that place with God. After 25 years of that, it took a while for me to reacquaint myself with dropping into the Spirit. You know, I did drop into the Spirit in ministry and all of that sort of stuff, but I never really understood about worship. And God had to bring me into that river. He had to let me soak. You know, there'd be times when it happened for about maybe 18 months, maybe. You know, I'd get up in the morning. I'd wake up at 3 in the morning. And I was having all these different sessions with God. There was, it wasn't 18 months, it was about 12 months. And I spent a whole lot of time, I'd wake up at 3 in the morning and the presence of God would be all over me. And that happened for years, and it would be over me until 6 o'clock, and I'd go back to sleep until 9. I'd get up, and then I'd pray until 12, and all this sort of stuff. And I'd pray for about 5 hours a day. But he would wake me up at 3 in the morning. I'd look over at the clock. It'd always be 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes after 3 o'clock, after 3 a.m. I never ever really woke up at 2:50 or 2:49 or 2:59. It was always after 3. So I went to the Bible. I couldn't find anything. I assumed there must be some window within a time clock during the 24-hour span, you know. And I even thought, well, it's 3 o'clock here, but it's some other time over in some other part of the world, and those things happen. You know, I just, because I inquired, I've seen people, you know, they say, yeah, I got, you know, the presence of God came maybe at 3 a.m. in the morning. I went, that's amazing. That happens to me. So there must be a window of opportunity there. There must be an hour or a window that opens up to either ungodly stuff or godly stuff. You know, there'd be time when he would wake me up at 3 a.m. and he'd say, I want to be with you. Now, I wouldn't hear his voice audibly. I would just get a feeling that he wants to be with me. And he would give me a thought to go out and sit on the lounge. So I get out of bed, I go and sit on the lounge, and the presence of God would come over me within seconds, and I would be whacked off my head for 3 hours, and I would be fully conscious, but immersed in this bubble of glory, of joy, of just niceness. I mean, it felt so nice. It was hard to get out of it. It was hard to step out of it. It was hard to leave it. You know, if you're in a swimming pool and it's beautiful in there, and someone says, "Come on, we've got to get out and have lunch," and you don't want to, it's hard. You have to make an effort, unless they bring out pavlova and ice cream, red jelly. Maybe you might draw you out of that. But you know, I'd be in the presence of God, and it would take me half an hour to get out, because I say, in a minute now, I'm going to just get up. I'm going to get up now, because I have to do something. I have to do something, and then I have to be somewhere, and you're trying to talk yourself into stepping out of this glory. It's very hard, because this is what the Bible says: in the presence of God is fullness of joy. So in the presence of God is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Those scriptures have been my scriptures for the past 7 or 8 years now. In the presence of God is fullness of joy. It's in Psalms. Even when I'm speaking it now, I've got my eyes closed and I can hardly stay in a conscious, normal position. I can feel the glory coming over me already. You know, it's so wonderful. I have to minister. Okay, Lord, I have to finish this podcast or else I won't be able to. Okay, I have to gather my thoughts again, because I slip into that place so quick, and it's hard to get out of it. As if I want to get out of it. It's like I want to spend all my time there. It's in the presence of God, and it's the transforming power. It's true intimacy with God. This is where God gets to know you. This is where he searches every part of you. This is where he gets to be with you. And I'm talking about this is because I'm actually dropping into it now. You know, the presence of God is so strong over me all the time that it's nothing to step into it. And wherever I am, I can go into the city and I can catch a bus into the city and I can go and sit on a seat in the main street where everybody in the mall is walking up and down, there's thousands of people around, and I can drop into the Spirit. And I can just stare into space and get lost in him. And people are just walking around. I can go into any place, and if I have to sit down and wait for something, maybe it might 10, 15 minutes for something, I can drop into the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will always look after me. Because if I've got to catch a train or a bus or something, he will alert me and bring me out of it so that I can get on the bus or get on a train or go and do my thing. He doesn't leave me lost. He looks after me. He brings me into that river and he looks after me. He doesn't leave me in the lurch. He doesn't leave me to fend for myself. He actually looks after me. He says, oh, you have to get on a bus now, and I come out of it. And I get on a bus, sit on the bus, and go into that place. And then when I've got to get off the bus, he says, you've got to get off the bus now. Oh, okay. I get off the bus. And then I have to walk home, and maybe down the street. And I'm walking very slow because I'm so whacked. People will think you're on drugs, mate. But I can't. Oh, okay. The presence of God is very stimulating, to say the least. It brings life and life more abundantly. Oh, okay. Okay, I didn't think that I'd just drop into this. But anyway, I'm going to have to leave. I'm going to have to stop this podcast, because I'm just going to go and be with the Lord. See ya.